Morning. Happy 2019. Had a great new year. I hope everybody else has, and looking forward to this upcoming year. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in our church this year. I've been excited ever since Christmas, really, just excited. And I know I'm going to get another year older, and Pat's going to get another year older, and she's going to make it to 100 this year. She's been 99 for years, but I do appreciate everybody. I appreciate the good time of fellowship we had last night for a late Sunday school Christmas party that we usually have after the parade, but the last 2 years our parade's gotten rained out or snowed out or something, so we put it off and did have it last night, so we had some good fun, good fellowship. I'm excited this morning to come and get to preach in a brand new year, and excited for everybody to get involved with our church and to get going forward. We've met with a few classes this morning about outreach and different things, so I'm looking forward to seeing the ideas that our classes come up with, how to reach out to our community, and I pray that the Lord uses our church this year to bring many lost souls, however many He desires. It may be one, maybe 100, I don't know, but I do know that He has us to reach out to a lost and dying world, and that's my prayer for this year, is that we become more focused on Him. And I guess I'm what you call a Facebook stalker. I don't post much on there because I pretty much keep my words to myself sometimes. Maybe when I should speak out, I'll be quiet, or maybe vice versa. But I noticed that a lot of words I've seen on there this year is hope. A lot of people has posted about hope, not just our church, but a lot of other places. And I want to tell you today, we have a blessed hope. We have the only hope, which is Jesus Christ. And let's don't hoard Him up this year. Let's share Him with our community and share Him with our neighbors and everybody else. Because I tell you, we're living in a time when you talk to so many people and their words are there just is no hope. Just seems like there's no hope. But hope is still alive. Hope is still saving lost souls. Hope is still changing lives. In 2019, I pray we see many of these. Do we have any prayer requests before we get into our service this morning? I've got a couple on my heart, personally. Of course, we've got some in our church that's struggling from health problems and different things. A good friend of mine that I deal with almost every day, his name's Vic Hall. He owns Auto City Auto Parts down in Oxford or Anniston, Alabama. Some of y'all may know Vic. He is being diagnosed with testicular cancer. He had it removed, and they was expecting the worst. And he went to the doctor Wednesday, and he went in there and said the doctor come in and told him, said, well, I was mistaken. You do have testicular cancer, but you have the best form if you have to have it. He said, I never thought I'd be so tickled to hear a doctor say I had cancer. But he said, I asked him, could I hug him? He said, if you just got to. But they told him with some radiation, he's going to be okay. So y'all pray for Vic. I told him I was going to put him on a prayer list and tell our church to pray, and he said, please do. Vic made it through cancer 32 years ago. He was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and they didn't think he had much of a chance, but the Lord brought him through that, and he knows the Lord's going to bring him through this. Vic is very involved at First Baptist Church of Oxford, so he believes in prayer. So if you would, pray for him. Remember Miss Trantham? She may have broke her foot yesterday, and of course Miss Ivadale broke her arm, and we just got so many, I can't remember them all, that's going through health problems, and just pray for them and pray for our church and pray that we be used of the Lord this year. Anybody else have one that I didn't cover? Anybody? If not, we'll go in the Lord in prayer and ask you to pray in your own way and pray for, I know there's many of us have different requests on our hearts, unspoken. Lift those up to the Lord and just pray that He works. Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking You for this day You've given us. Father, I thank You for the desire You've given us this morning to be in Your house. Lord, I pray for the ones that desire to be here that can't. Lord, I pray for the ones that don't have a desire. God, I pray that You rekindle that desire. Father, if they've never had it, that You raise it up in them. God, I pray for these prayer requests this morning that we've called out, and those that we haven't, those that's on the heart of our people. God, we ask You work in each situation. Lord, I pray for our Sunday school classes as we're encouraging them to reach out to our community. God, I pray You lay the ideas upon their heart. You lay the encouragement upon them. And God, the courage to go forward with it. And Lord, I ask you to be with our church and use us in a mighty way. Lord, most of all, right now, I ask you to be in our service. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and worship with us this morning. We know we can't worship unless you're here. And God, we thank you for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried
together this morning.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep humming when it's homeless? It's like they figured out what the rest have of the year. The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of
tonight. All we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe.
That good music, and excited to get going this morning. And we preached last week about the talents, and preached that everyone has a talent that God has blessed them with, and I guess a better word than blessed is given you responsibility of. It's a great responsibility. And today, I begin studying on what to, thinking and praying about what to preach this first Sunday of the new year. It's important to get off on the right foot, and the message the Lord's laid on my heart comes out of Matthew chapter number 14. Very, very familiar verses. This is the story, it's a true story of Peter stepping out on the water. And you can preach this thing a million different ways. And as looking over it, you can see a lot of different seasons of life in this story of stepping out. And Obviously, there's many things you can see, but today what I want to focus on is the call that we each have on our lives. And again, when I say that, you begin thinking about a preacher or a minister, different things. But again, I'm going to help you try to understand that each one of us has a call on our lives. I'm not going to let you off that easy of missing it one Sunday. We're going to talk about it again today, the calling that we have. And you see, Peter in this story had a calling on his life, and God completely told him what to do. And I see my calling in the same thing, and I hope you can see yours. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you with the title of this message is Step Out, You Will Not Sink. Step out, you will not sink. May I tell you that the hardest thing that you will ever do in anything you ever do is starting. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. If you're going to build a house, the hardest thing is to get going. If you're going to build a fellowship hall, the hardest thing is get going. Maybe not for us, maybe finishing is. But most cases, getting started is the hardest part. It's hard to get motivated. It's hard to trust God's going to answer. But I want to tell you today on assurance of God's word, if you step out, you will not sink. You may start to sink. You may think you're going to sink, but you will not sink. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter number 14, verses 23 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. I told you it was very, very familiar stories. Now, I want you to think about, before we get into this, that these disciples just have saw Jesus do a great miracle of feeding the thousands. A great miracle. I don't know about you, but I've never saw anybody feed such a number of people with so little. So truly they must have known that this man was something miraculous, that truly he was the Son of God, you would think. You would think they'd realize that this wasn't no ordinary man they was dealing with here. And if me and you have been saved very long, then surely we must understand that this Savior we have, and we preach about, and we talk about, he's no ordinary man. He's no ordinary person. He is truly something great. And I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you today, if we will be willing to follow his call, God will bless us. You see, the reason I believe that churches and different people are hindered everywhere, are suffering everywhere, is because the people that make up that body have never decided, have never got the courage, have never stepped out on what God has called them to do. And until they do that, we will not see a difference. I preached about that last Sunday. We're going to try to go on from that. But Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. If you can, you're able. If you would, stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Matthew 23 through 33. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of a good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, and if your Bible's like mine, you'll see this one word is written in red. And when you see a word written in red in the Bible, we know Jesus spoke it. And he said, come, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this scripture this morning. God, I thank you for a Bible that I can read. I thank you for a Bible that we can understand and written in our language and the what men went through to get this so I can read it. And God, I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to touch this word this morning. Lord, touch my body that I may be able to preach this message in a way that's pleasing unto you. And God, I ask you to open hearts and minds, that if those here this morning that's never opened their heart to you, they will. And God, those that have opened their heart that may be away from you, God, I pray they'll come back. And those that's here this morning that know without a shadow of a doubt they've got a calling, God, I pray you give them the courage just to step out. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you've been looking at the story, like I said, you can see many different things. You could probably preach 20 or 30 different sermons out of this one passage of Scripture of how Peter stepped out of the boat. You could preach about the faith of Peter. You could preach about the lessons Jesus was teaching them here. You could teach about the storm. You could teach about the wind. You could preach about the water. You can preach about all these things. But today, I want to preach about the calling that Peter had on his life at this point of time. And I want you to look at this calling. Almost everyone that feels a calling on their lives starts exactly like Peter did in this story. And I'll go, I know I went over mine a little bit last Sunday, but I have to go over it again. I can remember that calling well. I can remember the running away from it. I can remember the fear of giving in to the calling. And I can remember the times that I would say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Lord, if it's truly you, make this thing known that I should do. God, make it. And all along, he's sitting there thinking, why you want to do this? You know exactly what you're supposed to do. Peter knew he was to get out of that boat, but here he wanted to be certain that he was doing the right thing. And I guess you cannot blame Peter for that, maybe. That's where I stood. I wanted to be sure that I wasn't some false guy stepping out because maybe mama said I should preach, or daddy said I should preach, or somebody said maybe that's what was going on with me. I want to be sure that God had that calling. Now, I can remember putting fleece out before God, just as Gideon did. I can remember saying, God, if you want me to do this, then you do this. And I can remember the last time I put this out before him, I was in my basement. I had a certain place when I was going through this time that I would go pray. I mean, I would literally cry out to God. I'm talking about tears being on the floor. And I would cry out to God, searching for peace in my life. And I remember I was praying that one night. I don't remember what day it was. but I remember praying, God, if this thing is real, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to have a preacher. I want you to have a preacher call me right now. Now listen, this is not good advice because you're not supposed to go on this. The Bible teaches that. But listen, I believe God did this for my stupid self this morning. But listen, the moment I got those words out of my mouth, the phone rang. I'm talking about the moment it got out of my mouth. It was Alton Stamey, a pastor friend of mine, and he called and he said he was wanting to talk about something that had nothing to do with anything. But I sat there and I began telling God. I said, okay, I prayed this, but I tell you what, you need to do it one more time. But listen, what I told you is the reason God teaches that we are not to live by signs because we never get a sign that's good enough. Gideon never got a sign that was enough. Gideon said, I'll put the fleece out if it's dry. I'll put it out the next day if it's wet. Hey, when you search for signs, you never get a more perfect one because God requires us to operate on faith, believing that he can equip us and that he has equipped us to do what he's called us to do. And I remember when I got up from there and I went and talked to Alton Stamey, I thought, now what are you going to do? You told God if he would have a preacher call you, then you would preach. So what are you going to do now? What kind of excuse you got now? And I said, well, God, that must have been coincidence. I'll go a little bit further. And so I went a little bit further and things didn't get any better. And I still struggled and I still struggled. And I can remember I would close my eyes. I would see myself. I don't know why this vision was, but I would see myself in a suit preaching to people. And I said, God, that is wrong. I cannot do that. I will not do that. So I tell you what, God, if this is truly you, I want to see something greater. I want to see something greater. And God, I want to tell you something today. I never got to see that thing. You know what I did see? I saw some low times. I saw some hard times. I saw some times where God got me to the point where I had to rely on him. I had to trust him. I had to step out knowing and finding out that it was him. The good news that I'm going to tell you today is don't be asking for a sign. Don't ask for a great lightning to come. God could send it if he chooses to, but it never, ever will be enough. It never will be enough. God requires you to act on faith. But all of our calls begin the same way. Now, can you remember Peter? Can you imagine Peter? Saying, Lord, if it's truly you, now he just saw him feed these 5,000, or how many thousands it was, how women and children, it was a bunch of them. He had saw him create these other miracles, but now this is one that directly affects Peter. He's on the ocean out there, and boy, this thing is rough. The waves are high, the wind is tough, and Peter said, I tell you what, I see that vision. I don't know, I think it may be the Lord, but Lord, if it's you, would you bid me to come? How many of y'all in y'all's life had ever said, Lord, if this message that's on my heart, or this thing that's on my mind, or this calling I feel on my life, Lord, if it's truly of you, bid me to come. Bid me to come. Tell me it's okay. Tell me it's of you, God. If it's you, tell me. Well, guess what? Peter got exactly what he asked for. When he asked God, when he asked Jesus that, Jesus told him something, didn't he? He said, come. Come, it's written one little word in red that holds all kind of meanings to us today. And he said to him, he said, come. And listen, if Peter had been a man of faith as he should be, if I were the man of faith that I should be, I should take that one word, that word come, and know that I can go forward. Because when Jesus told Peter to come, it wasn't if I told him to come or Terry told him to come. This was the very Savior of the world. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords telling him to come. And if he tells you to come, may I encourage you that it's going to be okay. He's got everything in his hands. He's all powerful. He's in control of everything. There's nothing ever took him by surprise. Nothing ever will take him by surprise. And if God is telling you today to come, my friend, will you simply step out? Will you simply step out? The calling comes the same way for all of us. Moses. Yes, Moses got to see a burning bush, but you're probably not going to get to see that. You get to operate on faith. Bless God, I'm glad I don't get to see a burning bush. I saw one time, me and Blake did in Atlanta. Those of y'all with us remember what I'm talking about. We was at Winter Jam last year, and there was a car behind a bush, and we didn't know what it was, and the bush was smoking, Rudy. And I thought it was, surely we must have been supposed to do something. Here's a sign from God, a bush was smoking, but it wasn't, it was a car. But listen, can you imagine some of the things that Moses was able to see? I'm glad that I wouldn't put over a million people to lead over a river. I'm glad I wouldn't put over a million of these Israelites as he had Moses over. So he had to do something special with Moses. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the scriptures that we have. You and I have a word of God in front of us today that tells us everything that God wants us to know. They didn't have that, so God must speak to them in special ways. But here the calling still comes the same way. But I want to give you another piece of advice before we move on from the calling. If you don't want to know the truth, you better not ask. If you don't want to know if it's him, you better not ask. If you don't want to know that he wants you to do something, you better not ask him. Because listen, from experience, if he's put it on your heart and mind, the calling is there. And it's not going to be satisfied until you step out. I remember I was dealing with that calling, and I was down to the bend of my rope, brother. I couldn't do nothing else. That Sunday morning, me and Steffi was in the Sunday school room praying, and our pastor come in, Randall Moore, and he's a nut if you know him. And he has no sympathy for anybody, just a mean, mean man. No, but he's not a mean man. He's a great man. But he don't like crybabies. And I'm a crybaby, Stephanie says. But listen, he was in there and we was crying and trying to figure out our direction. And he come in there and he said, what's the matter? Then I told him what was going on and he said, what's the problem? I said, well, I don't know what to do. He said, yeah, you do. You wouldn't be crying about it if you didn't know what to do. You wouldn't be upset about it if you didn't know what to do. You know exactly what to do. You're going to have to step out. You're just going to have to do it. And I said, well, how do I know that it's real? He said, let me tell you something. I've been pastoring 40-something years. I've been preaching all these years, and you'll find this out about 5 years down the road. He said, you'll find this out. That thing that you're about to announce, nobody in their right mind would ever want to preach the Word of God. Nobody in their right mind would ever want to pastor people. Nobody in their right mind would ever want to be in that position. So I promise you, it's of God. It's not of yourself, because it's not natural to want to seek the things of God. So I got up there that morning. Oh, I thought service was over and I'm out of this deal. I've made it through. I was there. I glanced, grabbed the pew and I'd made it through the invitation. I was in pretty good shape. I was going to make it one more week. And about that time, Randall and his big old mouth stands up and he says, Chad has something he wants to announce today. I was like, oh, really? And so I remember stepping out and coming up to the front. And I felt like my stomach was tied in about 1,000 knots. I felt like I could throw up right then. And then I opened my mouth and it just come out. I told the congregation, I said, I feel I've been called to preach. And all of them was like, whoo, you don't even like to talk. And I told them what was going on. And after I got done crying and weeping, everybody hugged my neck and all, Randall Moore got back up and he said, I tell you what we're going to do. Everybody be back at 6 o'clock tonight. He's going to preach. I thought, Lord, tell them stay home. Don't let none of them come. But I remember that call. I remember the call. Listen, I can sympathize with you today with the call. I've dealt with several people since I've been, I don't know why it's what God's used me to do. I've dealt with several people who has announced a call to preach when I pastored. And one little young man would call me every single day. I don't think this is what it is. I said, well, it probably's not. I don't think God wants me to preach. All along I knew it was, but I couldn't tell him. He dealt with this, he dealt with it, and finally one day he called me. He said, I can't stand it any longer. I have not announced my call to preach. God has called me, and I know for sure. And that young man today is still preaching, but I saw him fight. I saw him wrestle and I saw him run. I've got compassion on you today if you're going through one of those things. And listen, everybody's not called to preach. But I promise you that everybody that God has ever saved has a calling on their life for the kingdom of God. He didn't save you to sit on a pew and get in a church and do absolutely nothing. God saved you for a reason, and it's up to you to answer that calling. Step out. You will not sink. Step out. And I want you to see the circumstances of a call. Listen, every call has a circumstance to it. You see, when Peter stepped out, what do you see there in verse 30? When Peter stepped out in verse 30, 14 verse 30, you see something begin to happen. He stepped out and he looked around him and he said, oh me. He started off pretty good, Terry. I can remember the first sermon. Everybody's going to be nice to you, by the way, on the first sermon. They're not going to tell you how bad it was. They're not going to tell you didn't know how to finish. You didn't know how to close. And now listen, when you've been preaching about 10 years, they don't mind telling you that stuff. I remember one time I was in Ramburn. I've told you this, but I'll tell you, some of y'all hadn't heard it. I was there one time, and I preached at a little church down in Clay County. And I run into this man that was recognizable in the store in Ramburn. And we got talking about somebody, and he says, you know brother so-and-so? I said, yeah, he's a good preacher. He said, yeah, he is, but he rattles his chains too much. I thought, well, I didn't notice, but I guess so. And then he said, by the way, I knew what was coming then. By the way, you move around too much. I was this close to saying, you want to try it. Would you like to try it? Listen, it's easy to sit there and tell everybody what they're doing wrong until you have stepped out. But listen, when you step out in the circumstances, you begin seeing something, do something. I look up the word of the meaning of circumstances before I put it down here as a word. And listen to what it says. It's a fact or condition connected to a relevant action or event. In other words, it's your surroundings. When you answer a call, you're going to be put in some type of circumstance. You're going to be put in some type of surrounding. And listen, the chances are it's not going to be a very comfortable surrounding. When Peter stepped out, what did he see? He saw big giant waves, didn't he? Yes, he had his eyes on the Lord, and then he began to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. I know that scripture. I know the preach that message. I know all about that. But listen, I'm trying to be real about this thing this morning. When Peter stepped out, for a few minutes it was great. It was spiritual. It was wonderful. But then all of a sudden the flesh stepped in, and Peter saw big giant waves. And Peter saw a big giant wind. And Peter was, if he'd been announced he's called to preach, he would have saw little women that went from being nice to you to telling you what you're doing wrong. He went from seeing churches being full to people not coming. He went from seeing all these things and the devil telling you just to quit, just to go home, just don't come back on Monday morning. Just give this thing up. It ain't doing no good no way. You could get you a better job. You could do better than this. He'll tell you all kind of things. Listen, my friend, when you announce a calling and you step out, immediately you are placed in circumstances. And they're not going to look favorable. They're not going to look favorable. He was there. The waves, I don't know how tall they was, but he began to do something. Listen to what it says. But when he saw the wind boisterous or mighty, or the wind had the waves all tore up, he was afraid. And all of us are sitting right here saying now, what a wimp was Peter. Oh, what a little bit of faith Peter had. How could Peter be so weak? He just saw Jesus be in the very boat with him and do all these things throughout time. He saw the multitudes fed. How in the world could he do this? Listen, Peter was afraid. May I tell you today that fear is a natural human emotion. It is natural. Do you know why we have fear? Do you know why we have fear? Does anybody know? It's for our protection. God put it there. We've been given two types of things. You've been given two types of ways to deal with fear. It's called fight or flight. Those of you in the medical field has heard of it. You know what it does? It gives you the ability to fight back if you have to through adrenaline, or it gives you the speed to run away from somebody if you need to, or a certain situation. You get to decide what you would do. Will you fight or will you flee? Will you get out of that thing? Listen, fear is completely, completely natural. Scientists have studied it and found out that fear is triggered very easy in the human brain. Fear is triggered very easy in our brains. Listen to what triggers it. We become fearful when we encounter things we don't understand, can't control, will cause harm to us, and our bodies completely changes when we become fearful. Listen, Things we don't understand. I didn't understand why a person that can't speak, that had a problem with stuttering when he was young, that don't like to talk in public, that don't like ordering through a drive-thru, that don't like to do this, why in the world would God call him to give out the most important message that's ever been known? And all I can tell you is it's God's will. And listen, it's God's way. I don't understand. It don't make sense to me, and it made me fearful. And listen, you may be dealing with today. Why does God want me to go to people and tell them about Jesus? And it makes fear come up because we can't control it. We don't understand it, and our body begins dealing with it. Yes, the first time I stood to preach my heart, if you had a heart monitor on me, Terry, the doctor would have said, you better sit down. My blood pressure was probably out of the roof. All my vital signs went, why? Because I was afraid. And God made my body to deal with that. But listen, once I opened my mouth and began stepping out on that faith and began preaching the Word of God, I don't remember anything else that went on until the closing time. And I remember I had a giant headache. I guess it was adrenaline. I remember we went to a Mexican restaurant after it, and I couldn't even eat. I had a headache so bad. And for months after that, every time I would preach, I had a bad headache. Don't know what it was from. But I do know it's one of the most comfortable places I have ever been in my life is behind this stand. One of the most comfortable places I ever be is behind this stand. I get phone calls all day long at work from people all over the country. And sometimes I enjoy talking to them. Sometimes I don't. But right here, I'm always comfortable. Even when y'all looking mean at me, I'm still in a comfortable place. But the first time was not. The first time was fearful. It was scary. The fear came in. I'm going to show you something. I had to look it up again. I read it yesterday. You need to know the Word of God. You need to put the Word of God in your heart, hide in your heart. You need to read the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God because we believe many false scriptures. How many of y'all have ever heard this scripture right here? And I had to look it up. I apologize for this. I didn't print it out. How many of you ever heard a scripture, God won't give you more than you can handle? Bill, it's okay to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. You ever heard that scripture? Nobody's going to buy it, are they? It don't exist. The writer of this says that's First Memes, chapter 7, verse 77. Let me ask you another one. These are five verses that don't exist. If God closes one door, he'll open another. That's in Gresham's, chapter 2. Your wish is my command, says the Lord. That's Jenny, chapter 1. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Everybody heard that one? That's Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 18. It don't exist. Yes, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 tells us that God has a plan for our life. But listen, what I'm telling you today is we believe many of that stuff that is not God's word. And I've heard so many people say that God won't put more on you than you can handle. That is a lie of the devil. God will absolutely put more on you than you can handle because God wants to prove to you that he can handle it. He don't want you to handle it. He don't want you to be able to handle it. The reason God puts more on you than you can handle so you'll turn over to him. If I believed in my heart that God was able to, if I was able to preach in my own, guess what? I would have been a direct failure. I still fail a lot, but I would be worse than I even am now. And listen, you would be the same way. God never calls you to do anything that makes sense that you think you can do on your own because it would be completely of yourself. Anything God ever done that was miraculous, he did it in a way where man could not take credit for it. Why did he use Moses? Moses couldn't speak. Moses led a whole nation. Why did he use Gideon? Gideon was afraid when he come found Gideon. Do you remember where Gideon was? He was threshing wheat at a place where you don't thresh wheat because he was scared. He was in a wine press. Threshing wheat, that ain't where you do it at. He was doing that because he was afraid for his life. And when God come to him, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm hiding right now. Listen, God puts more on you than you can handle so he can handle it. And you can see him handle it. But I want to tell you, it's not fun, is it? But listen, when you step out on the calling, you immediately see circumstances. And those circumstances are not fun. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to weather those circumstances. You've got to weather them. You'll go through people talking about you. You'll go through people putting you down. Every single time I go to a family event today, you know what it is? I see them over in the corner. There's old Reverend so-and-so, and I've got some family that do things you shouldn't do, and it's so funny. They'll be sitting there with a red cup, and I'll walk up, and they'll go, I have no idea what's in that cup. Listen, I know exactly what's in the cup. They'll do that. And every time, single time that I say something about the Lord, you can see them just roll their eyes. They think I think I'm better than them. I do not think I'm better than them. The only thing that separates me and them is I have a Savior that has died for me and that's bled for me, and He's the same Savior that'll die for them. There's nothing different than me and them. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. The only difference. But listen, when you get called and you step out, you immediately see circumstances. What do you do when circumstances get out of control? What do you do when more comes than you can handle? You do what I do. I'm a sissy. You cry. You cry. Peter cried. Peter, I believe, was a man's man. Listen to this. Verse 30, part B. He cried. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Oh, this wasn't some great big prayer that Peter come up with and some great orative thing that all this. But listen, it was very, very effective, wasn't it? He said, Lord, save me. Listen, when you step out and you see the circumstances, all you can do is when you think you're beginning to sink, is you cry out to God. You say, God, help me in this thing. Work this out. I have seen things happen that I never, ever thought was going to. I see it all the time. Situations, I think, God, how am I going to handle this thing? And I never, ever have to handle it. It figures itself out. God takes control of it. God works it out. And I want to tell you today, if you find yourself in a bad circumstance, cry out to God. Cry out to God. When the weight gets too heavy and you lose control. Oh, I look back over 2018, and I'm going to be honest with you. I lost some focus in 2018. I had to get it back. I did. It hurts to admit it. I got some times where I really didn't even care to do the things of God. You may be different than me, but it happened. I apologize to you for it, but it happened to me. I lost focus of what I was called to do. And I was about to give up at one point. Nobody even knew it. I was about to give up. Lord, we've been preaching here 2 years. I ain't seen a soul saved. I ain't seen nothing happen. Surely I must just go home. I was trying to figure out what I could do different. I was trying to figure out how I could quit, how I could do this, what church I would go to, and how I would do all this. And listen, that is nothing but deception of the devil. If he can get me to quit, he can get me to stay at home on Sundays. If I would have ever quit, I probably would have gotten out of church. If I would have ever quit, I probably would have never preached another time. He's a master. He's a master at getting us to quit. Cry out. I want you to notice something about Peter. He did not wait seeing if maybe he could handle it on his own. Boy, am I bad about this. Peter, he saw the surroundings around him. And listen, we condemn him for this. Him beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Listen, I think this is the most greatest thing Peter ever did in his life. Peter didn't wait to say, I believe I can swim for a little bit on my own. Peter didn't wait to say, I think I may can float a little bit. I got a few pounds on. Peter didn't say, I think the waves may end. I'll just sit here a minute and see how I'd fare underwater. The minute Peter saw he couldn't handle it, bless God, he called upon the Lord. Listen, the moment you cannot handle it, church, call upon the Lord, and I promise you something, He will save you. He'll take control. Peter, when he was afraid and he saw him begin to sink, he cried. He didn't wait to see what was going to happen. He didn't wait to see how bad it was going to get. He didn't do any of these things. But when he started to sink, when his feet went under the water, Peter cried out, Lord, save me. How many times, church, have you decided you're going to see how much you can handle on your own? God don't need me right here. I don't need to aggravate God about this little problem. I believe I can handle this one on my own. Boy, I've said it 100 times. But you know what? I'll find myself completely underwater. Can't get up. Struggling. How many of you ever been to Florida and gotten undertow? Scary, ain't it? Boy, you don't know how to get out of that thing. I believe that's what Peter never got that situation today. The moment his feet went under, he cried out to God. Peter was smarter than we give him credit for. He cried out to God. Yes, his faith was little. Yes, he had little faith right there. No doubt that he could have completely walked to the Lord if he'd kept his eyes focused. But I want you to see today that Peter was completely human. Peter had a call. Peter saw the circumstance, and Peter cried out. What does the Bible say about little faith? It says that just a small bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, can move a mountain. I believe that's literal. How many of you today have ever moved a mountain? In your spiritual life, in your physical life, whatever, how many of you have ever moved a mountain. Yes, we some of us moved a mountain spiritually, but physically speaking, how many of y'all have ever said to Mount Sheehaw, I want you to be put in Ramburn. I want you to be put in Muscadine. I want you to be put in Heflin, Mount Sheehaw. I don't like you where you're at. I want you to be over there. According to the Word of God, you have the power by God who's living in you to do that. If only you had a small bit of faith. What I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that Peter had a little bit of faith, but my friend, you have less. He said, the size of a mustard seed could move a mountain. Corey and him sing a song. He said, it says it only takes a little faith. And I hope so, because I ain't got much right now. That's Chad Morgan paraphrasing. That ain't the words of the song. That's how it goes. Just a little faith. That's in Matthew 17, verse 20, by the way. You don't have to look it up at home. I want you to see, lastly, the catching. The catching. You see the call. You see the circumstances. You see the cry, but this is an important part. I want you to see the catching. I want you to see the catching. Verse 31. And immediately, look at the timing of the catch. Immediately, Peter cried out, Terry, I believe, before the words left his brain to go to his tongue, the Lord stretched forth his hand. I believe before he had even got to the place where his nerves could react, the Lord already had his hand out. I believe he was always grabbing me. Boy, what about the timing of the catch? Have you ever cried out and thought, God, where are you? I want to tell you today, church, that God is not late. God has not forgot you. God has not forsaken you. God is always on time. He's always perfect. He's working at the time it is. And the moment you cry, God begins working immediately to rectify your situation. Immediately, Jesus stretch forth his hand. I want you to look at the strength of the catch. The very hand of Jesus. He didn't send angels to catch Peter. He could have. He didn't send some of the other men to catch Peter. He didn't send some other prophet to catch Peter. He himself stretched forth his hand and grabbed Peter up out of that water. The strength, there's nothing in the world more stronger than that hand that caught Peter. There's nothing more stronger today than that hand that'll catch you, my friend, if you are willing to step out. And when you get in the circumstances, and I don't want to discourage you, but when you step out and you get in them circumstances, at some point, brother, you're going to begin to sink. But I want to encourage you, if you'll cry out, that one that catches, his timing's perfect in his street. Strength is unbeatable. Nothing stronger in the world. This is a man whose hand is mentioned very few times in the Scripture. But when it is, he talks about his right hand and the power that's in his right hand. And I believe he reached down with that right hand and grabbed old Peter up out of that water. And boy, I tell you what, of all of Peter's life, he's never been in a safer place than he was in the middle of a storm holding on to the hand of God. This is a hand that the man it's attached to could speak and stars is put where they're supposed to be. This is a man who could speak and oceans go where they're supposed to go. This was a man who was standing in the very ocean that he could tell it what to do. This was a man that even today as I speak, we don't see this anymore because we've gotten so unspiritual, if that's a word. But listen, this is a man today that can still do the same things, my friend. If you'll step out, when you start to sink, and you will start to sink, if you're on your own, then he will catch you. He will catch you. Oh, the times the Bible talks about him holding on to you. There's places in John where it talks about nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Nobody can. Hey, the hardest waves in the world wasn't going to pull him out of Jesus' hand. All the wind that was there couldn't, because he controlled the wind. Nothing could get him out of Jesus' hand. He was absolutely, positively secure. Absolutely secure. After this, if you read further down, you'll see the placement of the catch. After he catches Peter, where do you see him back at? In the ship. It's back in the ship. You know what the ship is a picture of? The church. Peter stepped out for the church. Peter saw circumstances that caused him to take his eyes off the Lord. Peter started to sink. Peter cried out. The Lord caught him immediately with an all-powerful hand, placed him back exactly where he's supposed to be, in the old ship of Zion, in the church. Listen, my friend, if you'll step out, he will catch you. Why'd I say if you step out, he'll catch you? Because I've been there. You're going to start sinking. It's going to happen. You are absolutely human. And then that fear mechanism that's built into you by an almighty God, by the way, I know I hear people talk about it, and I preach it a lot, how we're not supposed to fear. Bottom line of it is, we're not supposed to, but we will. And if we do, God has made a way to cope with it in our human bodies, and God's made a way to cope with it spiritual through His Son. Fear is natural. It's going to come. You're going to take your eyes off of Him at some point. You're going to start sinking. He's going to catch you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, I think it is. Listen to this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. My friend today, if you'll step out, and I brought something. I ain't much of a show and tell person, I guess, but I brought something today from a famous artist. That's still pretty. This right here. I'm not creative. I'm not artistic. I hear people talking all the time, well, I was just inspired about this. As I looked at this picture this week, I saw the complete from Matthew chapter 23 to verse 33 is in this picture. You see how big the waves are? I thought, Sandy, you got a little bit big with them waves. She didn't. Them waves was big. That wind was boisterous. Look at this. Old Peter, he's about to go under, wasn't he? Look at that hand right there. He wasn't going nowhere. The Rock of Ages had a hold to him. Couldn't go anywhere. This is a beautiful painting. Beautiful. If you try to touch it, I'll cut your hands off. It's mine. Well, this is a picture of you. If you step out and what God's calling you to do, this is you right here. Gonna happen. This is a Savior. Same one that caught Peter will catch you. You see, 2019 is a time for a brand new start. It's time for a brand new opportunity. You get to decide. You get to decide if you'll stay in that ship just as you stayed for 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, however long you've been in the Lord. You get to choose if this year will always be the same. I told you I lost my focus last year. I did. But bless God, and His grace and mercy is back. I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I ain't going to try not to give up this year. Try to hang in there. I know I can, but I got to cry out sometimes. I got to cry out. He'll come get me. He'll pick me up. I saw somebody post something the other day. It says, pray for your pastor. It was Monday. It said, pray for your pastor. Mondays is the hardest day. Whoever wrote that was a genius. Whoever wrote that has done this before. I didn't understand it. I heard preachers talk about it when I first started. Said, you'll quit every Monday. You do. You get to work or you get on quiet time, and everything you didn't say right begins to come to your mind. I don't know why you can remember it so good on Monday. Something you knew you were supposed to say, very important part of the sermon, you thought, didn't come up. You did this. You think back of the words you messed up. You think of all this. You think of the people you saw standing there. Some of them was asleep. Some of them wasn't engaged. Still asleep? You think, well, what am I doing? It ain't worth 10 cents. He tries to get you discouraged. He tries to get you to give up and give in. You say you got to just cry out. He'll stretch forth His hand. He'll pick you up. Church, do you want this year to be any different? We started something in our Sunday school class. I've talked to a couple of them already. The youth's already ahead of us. They've already got something they're doing. I want every Sunday school class that we have to be involved in some type of outreach. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's not fun. Yes, it's hard to do. It's hard to get started. It's hard to step out there. But I want to tell you, you're stepping out may be responsible for one lost soul. You say, one, that ain't much. Yeah, it is. It says angels in heaven rejoice over one lost soul. You can make the whole heaven rejoice today by simply telling somebody about a risen Savior. You live at a time. I think we're given the most responsibility of any generation, although we're living in the hardest time of any generation. I'll say that also. We've got more ways to get the Word of God out today than it's ever been. We got internet, cell phones, any kind of way. One thing, we got cars that can drive 90 miles an hour. We got airplanes that can take us to the other side of the country in 5 hours. we can get the Word of God out. But you know what we've decided to do? We've decided we're going to sit down and let somebody else do it. Do you want this year to be any different? If you do, then you got to be the one who steps out of that boat. You're not going to make it very far, and you're going to think you're sinking. Cry out, and He'll save you. If you will, please stand. I don't know what people's dealing with today. I don't know what your calling is. I wish I could tell you, but I can't. I wish I could tell you what you're called to do, and I could place every one of you in the right place. It would be right, but the bottom line of it is I would mess this thing up. I do know that last week I preached about responsibility you have with the talents God has blessed you. You remember I talked about the man who was given 5 talents. That was enough wages to last 100 years. More than he would ever needed for his life. That's what you have today. You may not have 5 talents. You might not be as talented as somebody else. You may not be. But what you do have is every person has at least one. He don't mean for you to dig it and put it in the ground and hide it. He means it to be used. If He's given it to you, that's when today's sermon comes in part. You've got to decide to step out. You say, well, I can't. I'm too young. I saw preachers 12 years old. You say, I'm too old. I saw Brother Terry step out at 70. Is that right, Brother Terry? You say, well, I'm not called to preach. You probably ain't. You may be a teacher. I've saw teachers of all ages. I've saw people pray of all ages. I've saw people feed the hungry of all ages. There is something you can do in the kingdom of God, and it's not sitting on your hind end waiting for everybody else to do it. What will you do this year? You may be here this morning, and you don't know Jesus. If you don't know Him, there's nothing you can do but get to know Him. How do you do that? By coming to Him in faith, crying out, saying, God, forgive me of my sins, save me, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And according to the Word of God, He will do that. If you know He's tugging on that heart, then He will save you. You may have been saved 20 years, but you are far away from God. How do you come back? Peter showed you. You cry out. You get to decide today if your year will be any different. There's already people on diets from here to California. They're trying all kind of plans, everything to change their life. Nothing's going to change your life more than doing what God has called you to do if you'll come today.